Hey, this is James from StrongPunk.com.
And this is his loyal co-host, Couch Potato Mike. How has your week gone for you, sir?
Not too darn bad. Got a lot of work done out on the homestead.
Yeah, I saw that your shed's looking a lot more like a house now.
Yeah, we got we spent an entire day out there. We put in four windows and then wired up the entire shed.
That's awesome.
With outlet boxes and stuff. And so yeah, it's getting further along. We gotta do a little bit of water. I'm not quite sure how much I'm gonna do or what I'm gonna do for that. And then insulation and walls and build the loft and all that. But once the insulation's in, the walls are in, at that point I could kind of move in. I wanted to get finished completely, but time.
Absolutely. You're on a weird schedule too.
Yeah.
So I've actually got a pretty big announcement out there for our listeners.
Oh, you do?
Yes, I do. Ladies and gentlemen out there in the Survival Punk Pantheon, I would like to announce that we now have a new, shall I call it an affiliate or associate or sister website?
Sure.
Yeah, it's one of those, okay? We have a new website. More specifically, I have a new website.
Yes.
It's a work in progress right now. It just came online, but right now out there in the world, we've alluded to this before, exists couchpotatomike.com.
It's for really real.
Absolutely. That is where I'm going to be hosting my own podcast, this time with our very own Survival Punk as my co-host.
Yeah.
You okay there?
I'll be playing backup.
Yeah, you'll be playing backup to me. We're going to be, it's not going to be like this. It's not going to be centered around survival and health and stuff like that. I'm not saying that stuff won't get talked about on the show. I mean, I'm sure that'll come up. That's one of your fields of expertise. But that's what the show's going to be about, fields of expertise. I'm also inviting all the survival punk listeners out there to send in questions that you might want answered on the show. That's basically what it's going to be, is a big Q&A that we can talk about pretty much anything. We're going to ask each other questions. We're going to go balls deep into these subjects. Just for right now, until I get the new email set up, you can just send your questions to james@survivalpunk.com. And just tag it, Couch Potato Mike Explains It All.
Yeah.
That's going to be the name of the new podcast. It's not out yet. It won't be out for a little bit. We still got to work some bugs out, get some irons out of the fire. But send those questions over there. And as soon as I got my email running for it, I'll shoot that over to you. But there's going to be my daily diary, the Couch Potato Logs. Then there's also going to be, we're going to have articles up about various things. Looking for sponsors out there. Just thought I'd let you know that if you want to advertise, I can cut you a really good deal. And we're going to have the podcast going, Couch Potato Mike Explains It All. Get ready to go full potato.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. But let's see, what do we got coming up on the show today, other than our normal sponsor spots? We're going to be talking about how the marijuana profits are going up in smoke after some IRS rules. Eight healthy foods that aren't really healthy for you at all. Our main topic of today is all about DIY. We're going to be reviewing the Gerber EAB, and no, that's not baby food, talking a little bit about Yapan Holly. As well as our Permaculture Minute Wild Edible of the Week, Mike's Paleo Report's going to be coming up, and the game that's sweeping the nation, Mike's Worst Cases, if we can get around to that. All right, but let's just jump right into it now with a few words about JMBullion.com.
JMBullion.com, the best place online to get all your gold and silver needs. Silver right now is actually taking a plummet, which to me means buy, buy, buy.
Just like the stocks, buy low, sell high.
Exactly. I think now it's somewhere around $16 an ounce and maybe still dropping, so...
Why is it dropping like that?
Different reasons. I don't know. Maybe we'll go into it more on an episode.
Okay.
But yeah, it's going down, which means to buy. It won't go down for long. So if you're one of the... Oh, man. It got up to like $50 an ounce for a while, and I wasn't touching it there, but... Around $12 to $16, I'm going to buy a lot of it.
So, oh, absolutely.
And you should be buying it from jambullion.com. Go to survivalpunk.com, click the banner in the right-hand margin, and start stockpiling for your future.
Absolutely. And while you're over there, you can also find a little banner about a Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee.
Yeah, high quality exotic Asian coffee. They do in charity work in Thailand. They happened to find some coffee trees just growing there on their own. They were planted.
Really? That sounds
interesting. Well, yeah, it was planted to replace poppy fields. You know, like 50 years earlier, like as a rotational crop, and it turns out that Thailand's actually an amazing climate to be growing coffee in.
There wouldn't be any cross-pollination there, would
no.
there? No. Some opium coffee?
Yeah, no. So, you know, the people in that village now have good sustainable jobs because they're harvesting the coffee and getting paid a fair wage for it, and we get good quality coffee out of it. Right. And when you buy from Mai Tai Coffee, you help support an orphanage in Thailand. To make sure kids get food and education and stuff, which I highly support. Being a former Buddhist, I really want to take care of Thailand. So,
absolutely. I mean, and everybody out there loves coffee. You know, you get up in the morning and you need it just to get going. So why don't you get some good coffee? Go to survivalpunk.com, click on the banner for Mai Tai Exotic Asian Coffee because it is the brew to do.
All right, so what do we got coming up today?
All right, let's just jump right into our first news story about marijuana profits and what the IRS seems to be doing to them.
Oh, of course. Voters in Oregon, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. will decide Tuesday, which is today, by the way, in the past for you guys, or, yeah, in the past.
It'll be yesterday.
It'll be yesterday. Yeah, we're recording today. Anyway. Whether legalized the sale of recreational marijuana, but any new pot shops that voters approve may not be able to survive a drug war air tax code that already threatens many businesses in Colorado and Washington state. Under this tax code, the federal government stands to make more money from the sale of marijuana than those illegally selling it, or those legally selling it. And that could be enough to shut down many shops. It's almost like they want us to fail, said Mitch Woolheiser, while walking through his store called Northern Lights Cannabis Co. in Edgewater, Colorado. Everything I do is aimed at keeping us in business because if I don't, then the feds win, and I'm not going to let them win. Woolheiser believes the federal government is actively seeking to undermine his business.
Woolheiser first opened shop in 2010, selling medical marijuana. He started selling recreational pot when it became legal in Colorado at the start of the year. Last year, his business didn't earn a profit. Had he been selling anything but cannabis, he would not have owed federal income tax, as he ended up with a loss. Instead, he ended up paying close to $20,000 to the IRS because of the 1980s tax code called 280E. I believe that the feds ended the drug war through
extend
the drug war through 280E, said Jordan Cornelius, a Denver accountant who has worked with Woolheiser and many other marijuana companies in Colorado. If the federal government can't put them out of business legally when voters are mandating that these businesses move forward, it is very easy to put them out of business financially. It's unclear that the federal government is actively enforcing this tax code in an effort to undermine the legal business, but that is the effect.
No one from the U.S. Department of Justice, Drug Enforcement Administration, or Internal Revenue Service would comment for this story. Surprise, surprise. However, an IRS spokesperson provided a 2010 letter written in response to several lawmakers in Arizona, California, Colorado, and Massachusetts, who had asked the IRS to stop enforcing the tax code in states that legalize the sale of marijuana. The IRS letter pointed out that only Congress could make that change. The result you seek would require an act of Congress to amend either the Internal Revenue Code or the Controlled Substance Act, the IRS letter said. Though multiple members of Congress received the letter, there has been little effort to amend the code. Instead, the federal government collects taxes on what it considers an illegal drug because the Supreme Court ruled more than 50 years ago that everyone has to pay taxes even those that make their money illegally. Then, in 1982, my birth year, Congress amended the U.S. tax code to include 280E, which says businesses selling a Schedule 1 or 2 drug, like marijuana, heroin, methamphetamine, or cocaine.
That was methamphetamine to the non-connoisseur.
Methamphetamines or cocaine cannot deduct all of their regular business expenses. Nice government.
The rule means that the costs of the product, like the soil and fertilizer used to grow plants, are deductible, but the costs of selling, like advertising, rent, and utilities, even salaries for employees, are not deductible. If it made sense, I would feel better about following it, said Rob Corey, a Denver lawyer and marijuana advocate. I don't see why production is deductible. They are still producing marijuana. But that quirk in the tax code has helped many cannabis companies stay in business over the last several years in Colorado. Medical marijuana stores were required to grow their own product and therefore had some associated deductions. Since October 1st, nearly 100 new cannabis companies got licenses to operate in Colorado and will no longer have to grow the products they sell. But without growing, many may soon find that they will have very few, if any, business deductions when filing federal taxes in April. For Wollheiser, whose sales have increased dramatically since he began selling recreational marijuana January 1st, the confusing nature of the code means that he has no idea how much he will owe in taxes, just that it will be far more than what it might be if he was selling anything else.
A lot of people think that marijuana industry is just a license to print money, said Taylor West, a deputy director of the National Cannabis Industry Association. And it's just not the case. West works for an association of more than 750 cannabis-related businesses across the United States and says that 280E results in her clients paying more than 70% of their profits in taxes to the federal government.
Good God, 70%?
That's ridiculous.
Or more.
Sometimes the rates are far higher than that.
Oh, I'm sorry, I stand corrected.
A lot of times, instead of paying a tax rate that should be 30 to 40%, which still sucks, they are paying rates between 80 and 90%. Unlivable.
Who the hell do they think?
Cornelius, the accountant, said, I even have a client right now that is paying more than 100% effective tax rate.
That makes zero sense. That makes a negative sense.
Wollheiser is hoping that the increased sales this year will make up for the loss he took last year, but he's still paying off his debt to the IRS. The problem is that we have passed laws that allow these medical marijuana and recreational marijuana companies to do business, said Matt Klaus, a University of Denver finance professor who studies the industry. But we have all these other laws, tax laws, federal laws, that make it incredibly difficult, if not utterly impossible, to survive. Blah, blah, blah. That's the end of the article.
Wow. So, that's just ridiculous. It just makes me more angry.
You'd think that they would have changed that tax code with the legalization of recreational marijuana, but no, the government's just got to get their money from somewhere.
It's so hard and convoluted to ever get anything done. I'm not going to go on. I thought about making the whole episode about this, and then I kind of backed off, and then this article has prompted me to say something about it. So today is voting day.
Right.
Do you have your sticker, Mike?
I have my sticker for what?
I voted.
You voted?
No, do you have your I voted sticker?
Oh, no. Do you?
No.
Yeah, I'm not going to be part of the problem.
I heard someone on Facebook earlier, one of my friends, like...
we're going to get lambasted for the fact that we didn't vote.
I don't care. Urging people to go vote. And I made a Facebook post that your vote is pointless. The vote is a lie. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
your vote
much.
Does not matter.
Oh, but it's our civic duty.
No. It's completely pointless.
I think the whole thing is civic duty.
For one, you're not really making a difference either way. nothing will ever happen like that. I believe it was a Matthew McConaughey vote movie where he was the last American to not vote. So things literally did.
The swing vote.
that fall on his shoulders. That doesn't exist. That'll never happen.
No, no, no. Not with the Electoral College.
Exactly. So there's that.
The Electoral College, which allows candidates who get the minority of the votes to somehow still win the election.
Right. And then there's...
George W.
There's that. There's massive cheating. There's some real conspiracies going on about Obama's last victory where... There's clear evidence that dead voters voted for him.
That should have been an entire revote right there.
That should have been. But you know, these people were picked ahead of time. It doesn't really matter. Oh. The government controls your vote, and then if things aren't going quite right, they'll dig up dead voters or Bush with the whole janky stuff with his brother in Florida and that the whole. All that going out weird. Yeah, they're digging up dead voters and they're scamming the system and it's happening on both sides. Your vote doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
I mean, we've been...
And, more importantly, the government wants to screw you. The Democrats want to screw you. The Republicans want to screw you. If you vote one way or the other, you're still getting screwed. It really doesn't matter. They're just up there to make money and screw you. Okay. And you're thanking them for screwing you. Thank you, sir. May I have another?
I want Todd to listen to this episode.
It's just so stupid. If you say that, yeah, our problem is just that we've got a freaking liberal, socialist, Democrat in the office. Things are so bad. Things sucked with Bush in office. God, the poster boy that all my friends put up is Bill Clinton. Well, you know what? I went back and looked at it. There's like, oh, you know, he's the only president to go through without being in debt or deficit or something. It was number fudging.
Number fudging?
They pushed all the numbers off until he was out of office. It was sort of a short term loan thing. So it's like. They just passed it to the next administration, and I did all this research on why he was a bad president, because people get blinded by their own personal opinions. Like, I'm gonna go off on a tirade, but fuck it, it's my show.
What do you mean gonna go off on? You're already there.
I saw this guy. He does this YouTube television program, YouTube channel called like Truth TV or Truth something.
I've heard of it.
So he went around, he interviewed people, and like he was reading these, like facts, like you know, I believe it was during the Mitt Romney Obama race for presidency.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, isn't it terrible that Mitt Romney wants to like bomb poor Yemen kids, and like he signed the NDAA act to like remove your rights and stuff, and like people going, oh, that's terrible, I hate him, like that's horrible. And he went, no. Every single fact he read was something that President Obama has done, past tense, covered in, wow. Like he had printouts of like, and it wasn't like covered in things like, you know, the Blaze. This was like top headlines from CNN.
Holy hell.
Yes. It was like President Obama signs NDAA Act and describes what it is. And then, 9 out of 10 people were like, oh, whatever, you know, he's my boy. So they were ranting and flipping off the handle when they thought it was someone else. But when it was their candidate, they justify it. It happens on both sides.
Yeah.
You always justify your own candidate. You don't look at them objectionably and decide, you know, oh, I'm not against that. Like, if I voted for someone and they bomb kids, I'm not... on your side no more. You're blowing up people pointlessly.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So I don't pick any sides anymore. There's not a damn good candidate out there. There hasn't been in my entire lifetime. Yeah. And I seriously doubt there ever will be. People can talk up their damn Democrats all they want. They can talk up their damn Republicans all they want. They can talk up their damn Libertarians all they want. I don't give a shit anymore about political parties. That's why I don't participate in voting. I am not going to contribute to the downfall of society that way. I mean, there's not a damn thing my vote's going to do except either possibly A, get fudged, B, thrown away, or just C, lost somewhere in the Electoral College. So screw it. Screw the whole damn thing. Yeah, I have to live in this country. Why? because I don't have the money to immigrate anywhere else, okay? Or else I'd be singing O Canada at the beginning of the next hockey game. It's like that. But, yeah, I'm not a patriot by any stretch of the imagination. I love this country for its freedoms. I hate the political system that we have to live under. It is broken. It has always been broken for as far as I can tell, and it will continue to be even more broken until it finally collapses. Yeah. Remember when the government shut down within the last couple of years? The government shut down. Why? Because it's broken. It's still operating, though, still broken somehow. They're basically using a garter belt for a damn fan hose is what's going on, and I... Oh, great. Now it's my... I guess now it's my turn on the soapbox. But, yeah, that's why I don't participate in voting.
Yeah, I...
Shame on them for taxing marijuana.
Let's move on before we turn this show into a don't-go-vote show.
Too late!
Yeah.
All right. And our next news story... Boy, that woke us up a little bit.
Just a little bit.
All right, our next news story comes from the good people... Oh, yeah, by the way, this story, if you want to read more or anything like that, it was on usatoday.com, I believe.
Yes.
So, all right. But now moving over to the good people over at crack.com who've provided me with yet another treasured gem. 8 healthy foods that are actually bad for you. Let's go ahead and click on that. All right. Let's see. Going up here. 8 healthy foods that are bad for you. Now, I saw this and I'm like, I just have to share this. All right. Let's start. You know what? You go ahead on this one. Number 8.
Let's be a little skippy on this. Number 8, vitamin waters. Excuse me. The two biggest players in the vitamin water game are the original vitamin water, owned by Coke, and the Sobe Life Water, owned by Pepsi, which should start to raise red flags right there. There are a bunch of other drinks playing the game with their light to clear colors, healthy added names, plain water with some nutrients added, which is true if you consider 8 tablespoons of sugar a nutrient. Vitamin water and Life water both contain 32.5 grams of sugar per bottle, which is why I don't drink it. So you might as well hydrate after a workout by drinking a bottle of water and tossing a full-size Snickers, 30 grams of sugar, down your throat. But hey, at least that's half a Snickers less than a can of Coke, so really it might as well be water? Mm-hmm. I'm Ron Burgundy. There are low-calorie versions out there, like Vitamin Water 10. And there used to be a Vitamin Water 0.
It's sad that they have to make a 0.
I know. But it still has to appeal to their customer base, people who refuse to drink anything that isn't sweet, even their daily vitamins. Artificial sweeteners. Number 7, Mike, take away.
Number 7, Bran Muffins. Bran tastes terrible and therefore must be good for you. One of the easier ways to stuff that sawdust-like substance down your reluctant gullet is with a Bran muffin. Unfortunately, like Mary Poppins' medicine, any type of muffin that you use is sending the good stuff down with a spoonful of sugar and enough fat to choke a Japanese whaler. The main ingredient in muffins is cake. The main ingredients in cake is fat. If you've noticed that muffin wrappers tend to be grease-soaked to the point of translucence, you might have put this together already. But you might not know that a medium-sized blueberry muffin has more calories than a McDonald's sausage McMuffin. That's the same size. Almost half of those calories are from fat. Specifically, a third of the fat you were supposed to eat in an entire day. Switching to the Bran doesn't stop the muffin from being worth its legal weight in sausage, egg, and heart attacks. Assuming Bran muffins are any better for you is like switching out the chocolate chips and the chocolate chip cookies for raisins and declaring it health food. Structurally, it's still mostly cookie. Switching to Bran muffin gets you down to just under the calorie count of a sausage McMuffin, which is not the kind of breakfast that will get your body on the cover of Shapely Ass magazine. Trendy places like Starbucks are already on top of that with low-fat muffins. As you can see, they brought the fat calories down to a much smaller percentage of the whole, but the overall calorie count is still very much the same in the McMuffin range. Also, taking the fat out of a muffin steals its soul. It's like a damn scone or some shit.
Whereas I don't see the issue with the fat in that. It's the fat combined with the fact that you're putting in wheat bran.
Yeah. They kind of missed the point of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, cracked, I agree with you, but disagree with you for the same at the same time on that one. Wheat bran, bad. And, I made a guess earlier on what I thought would be on there. What was my top 3 guesses?
I don't remember. I wasn't listening.
Yogurt.
Yeah, yogurt was one of them. Wheat.
And oatmeal.
Yeah, okay. Well, we're only a couple.
Number six, granola and cereal bars. Granola bars have to be good for you, right? Well, if they taste awful, then yes. If they taste good, it's probably the same ingredients that make candy bars taste good. Sugar, fat, and chocolate. Sure, these bars all look really similar, with white or green boxes sporting pictures of lumpy beige bars and smiling women in yoga clothes. But they run the gamut from healthy sawdust bricks to Snickers bars and eco-themed wrappers. The Quaker Oats True Delight bar contains raspberry and chocolate and allegedly tastes pretty good. And it had better because, pound for pound, it's pretty much got the same amount of fat and calories as a Snickers bar. It's also this big.
Wow.
It's showing a picture of it, I guess, life-size, and it's...
Oh, I don't know. That could be a midget's hand.
That could be. If you've got gigantic hands and therefore think that looks pretty big, basically it's only half the size of a Snickers, 1.2 ounces versus 2 ounces. So there's a good chance you'll wind up eating two, or eating something else when you're hungry again. Either way, you might as well have eaten the candy bar for all that's good is doing for you.
Yeah.
Sure, there are granola bars out there that are actually good for you and not made of candy, but they taste like freaking granola. If you want to be healthy, you got to pay the price. No, bacon's pretty tasty and it's good for you.
Mm-hmm. Number five, chewable vitamin tablets. Vitamin C has been touted as the cure-all for everything from preventing colds to curing cancer. The latter claims was popularized by Linus Pauling and eaten up by people who forgot that he got a Nobel Prize in chemistry and not medicine. The movement was dealt a bit of a setback when he died of cancer in 1994. Anyway, vitamin C may not cure cancer or AIDS, that's been claimed too, but it's good for you. And for people who hate oranges or pills, the only solution is chewable vitamin C tablets. However, with some chewable tablets, while you're eating the tablets are also eating you. The scientific name for vitamin C is ascorbic acid, which gives you a hint as to the problem. Studies have shown that in some cases, chewable vitamin C tablets can cause people's teeth to erode. Dentists suggest that you brush your teeth afterwards, although dentists suggest you brush your teeth after everything, and try to buy a brand that has vitamin C in its non-acidic form. Or man up and swallow the damn pill.
And
number four,
fish. Fish has always been pushed as something good for you by doctors, health nuts, and the Japanese. Opposed only by people who don't like fish, and of course fish. Like Mr. Lampus there.
Limpid.
Whatever.
The incredible Mr. Limpid.
Whatever. However, in recent years, a lot of people have been jumping on the fish are poison bandwagon, which is alarmist and inaccurate. Fish aren't poison. They are merely filled with poisons. The good news is you have a couple of choices on what kind of poison you want to eat in your fish. Do you prefer mercury? Try ocean fish. Apparently the oceans are full of mercury, mostly thanks to coal-burning power plants and the chemical processing plants and people dumping their defective T-1000 Terminators. Aww. And almost all fish contain at least some trace amounts of mercury. Not Freddie Mercury. According to the EPA, children, pregnant women, and women who think they may possibly get pregnant someday should completely avoid four species of fish that seem to be mercury superstars while not eating more than one moderate serving of even low mercury fish a week. You can avoid mercury by eating farmed fish. They have grown up nice and safe in a little fish farm, eating pesticide runoff. One expert suggests the safe limit on farmed salmon is one dinner every 5 months. Holy crap! Is that right? We're pretty sure doctors want you to smoke cigars more often than that.
Number three, fast food salads. In the recent crusade against unhealthy foods, fast food chains like McDonald's have been the first against the wall. Their clever and mildly diabolical two-pronged defense aims at targeting communities where the healthy eating trend hasn't spread yet, and where the residents are currently the highest risk demographic for heart disease and other diet-related issues. Witness the official McDonald's-sponsored website, 365black.com. Meanwhile, they aim to hold on to the health nuts by promoting healthy items to the menu, like yogurts and salads. The reason that healthy is in quotes is the fast food restaurant salads are often even worse for you than their burgers. The Wendy's Mandarin Chicken Salad, for example, beats the quarter pound Wendy's double stack cheeseburger in fat, sugar, carbs, and total calories. Fortunately, most fast food restaurants have nutrition information brochures stuffed somewhere out of view so that you can use to research menu items before diving in. The new health care bill actually requires them to put the info somewhere visible, but that takes all the challenge out of it. So let's just say that if a salad has lots of dressing, meat, cheese, or bits of fried food on it, the addition of lettuce does not negate the damage.
I want to make quick comments on both the salad and the fish.
Oh, let's hear it.
So I would not suggest eating farm-raised fish because you may lose a little bit of mercury. Man, whatever. But you also lose all the health benefits because then you're eating, like, say, tilapia. There's not says it's farm. So pretty much all of the tilapia is farm-raised. And it's farm-raised on GMO corn to fatten it up to get it out of the tanks as quick as possible. So then you're eating huge amounts of GMO corn. I would rather eat tiny amounts of mercury in my wild-caught salmon than I would GMO corn and mutated crazy stupid fish.
Okay.
So, kind of disagree on that one. The salads, you can order a salad from a fast food restaurant and not have it be bad. Once again, the author of this article seems to be against fat. Whatever, people are wrong. That's fine.
That is one of the things that's been spoon-fed to us since grade school. Fat makes you fat.
Right. So there's that. But if you, I've ordered salads from McDonald's before, usually like say a grilled chicken salad,
grilled chicken, not crispy chicken.
Yeah. You throw away the dressing, you throw away the croutons or whatever it comes with like that. Then all you have is veggies. It's not the best without the dressing. But most people tend to just drizzle and eat the dressing and then leave, like, pieces of, like, vegetable matter in it that don't have enough dressing to consume on.
I'm just saying, why do they got to put so many damn carrots in it? I don't like carrots.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, then again, I'm usually one of those guys that gets the salad and gets the dressing and actually asks for a second thing of dressing.
Yeah, the dressing is the bad part. So, yeah, if you're a pinch and you need something from a fast food restaurant, just don't eat the croutons or any fried, like the Southwestern salad have like deep fried onion rings or something. Don't touch those, and then don't use a dressing.
And I would actually like to make a suggestion to our listeners out there. If you're going to get a fast food salad, you know, listen to everything he said just then. It all makes perfectly good sense. But if you're the kind of person like me that can't go, that you need that extra dressing or whatever, that extra flavor, here's my suggestion. Don't ask for the dressing packets. Get some mayonnaise packets. Mayonnaise is actually pretty good on salad. And it's basically fat and protein right there.
Yeah.
There you go. So I've eaten mayonnaise on salads before. And if the mayonnaise doesn't have enough flavor for you, squeeze a little lemon over it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do this.
I mean, my go-to salad dressing for years has been olive oil and balsamic vinegar.
Which is about as healthy as you can get with a salad dressing.
Yeah.
Realistically healthy.
Yeah, I mean, you could go like fresh squeezed lemon juice, but I don't really care for it. So, moving along to protein shakes, and I might have something to disagree with this one.
Number two, protein shakes.
I apparently am not friends with this author. We're not going to get along. Protein shakes, number two. People associate protein with muscle, because that's what muscles are mostly made of. However, muscles going into your stomach doesn't translate to muscles coming out of your biceps. Your body breaks down what you eat into tiny components and rebuilds those components into whatever it thinks it needs. And to most Americans' annoyance, what it thinks it needs is usually fat. Again,
You have to take a look at, you have to take a look back at evolution. Your body doesn't know we have moved out of the Stone Age, which is why I like the paleo diet. And the only way to convince your body that all this extra protein is supposed to be making new muscles and not fat is to work out like a mofo. If you are sitting on the couch or in a desk chair all day, your body doesn't give a shit whether you are giving it carbs or protein. Disagree.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with that one as well.
It's going to make what it wants out of them. Except that in making protein into carbs or fat, dumps the protein's nitrogen and makes it into urea or uric acid, which in large amounts can screw up your kidneys. Disagree. According to one expert, even a heavy exerciser who would only need to double the protein intake at most people need about 50 to 70 grams a day. Not too bad. I don't like generalizations like that. You need to base it based on your own personal, but whatever. Depending on how much they weigh, and the average American eats about 100 grams a day as part of the normal diet. If you need more, you can easily get 30 to 60 grams from just a chicken breast.
Oh. Which one of our guests said something bad about chicken breasts? Because I think it was Jimmy Moore, didn't he?
There's no fat in a chicken breast.
There's no chicken. It's incredibly lean.
It'll spike your proteins and possibly cause you to go into gluconeogenesis. So you might as well just snort some sugar.
Let's skip down that because the whole thing's pissing me off too.
Yeah.
And number one, herbal supplements. Herbal supplements are not only a creative euphemism for marijuana, but also a booming market for remedies ranging from the old school to new age. None of them are regulated by the FDA, so your bottle of ancient Chinese vitality root could be powdered dog shit for all you know. It could also cure cancer. It's a crapshoot. Consumer organizations do their best to keep an eye on those things, however, and Consumer Reports made a list of 2004 of herbal supplements that are downright dangerous. Number one on that list is a Chinese remedy for eczema. This FDA alert tells of two people who took it hoping to clear up some skin problems and ended up needing kidney transplants. One of the most well-known supplements on the list is kava, which is supposed to be a kind of herbal Prozac. Unfortunately, evidence started to appear indicating that while it makes you feel good, it also destroys your liver. Kava advocates theorize that this might have been caused by companies looking to cut costs by grinding up the entire kava plant, including leaves and stems, which may cause toxins in addition to the traditionally used root. Which brings us back to the beginning. There's no FDA to ask manufacturers, hey, what are you guys doing with the leaves and stems over there? So they'll just throw any old thing right in. They could be grinding up used condoms and bear fur in there. Remember, people still sell snake oil. They just put pictures of leaves on the bottle now. He's sitting here having drunk two big mugs of kava tea earlier.
Yes, and I can tell from looking at it, there's definitely no ground-up condoms in my kava tea.
What about bear fur?
There was no bear fur in there.
What about stems and leaves?
The root pieces are so big, I can tell what they were for the most part. There's definitely no leaves in there.
You got good kava.
Yes, I bought organic kava from a organic tea shop that I like to go to.
Okay.
I think the author of this article is a dickwad. I don't like this guy. He seems pro-government and anti-fat. And,
by Christine H.
Christine H. is an idiot.
Oh, my God.
You're a dumb idiot. Mike, you picked a bad article.
But Christine H., I would like you to invite you on an upcoming episode of Couch Potato Mike Explains It All. All right, and now it is time for our affiliate ad, a Well Food Co.
Yes, if you eat paleo like I do and not like this idiot Christine H., who probably thinks wheat bran is good for you. Anyway, idiot. Well Food Co., created by John Well.
This whole episode's just pissed you off somehow.
John Wellborn, his wife, and Rob Wolf, they make some great food over at Well Food Co. Their carne bars, amazing. They've got a lot of fat in them, which is good for you.
Home of the Paleo MRE.
Home of the Paleo MRE. Grass-fed beef protein for your protein shake needs.
I've been on a high-protein fat diet for a while, and I'll tell you how that's going later.
Yeah. So, yeah, Well Food Co., go click on their banner on the right-hand margin of SurvivalPunk.com, and then pick up some good stuff for the holiday season.
DIY!
You're skipping ahead. Oh.
No, I'm not. DIY!
Main show topic. So...
Do it yourself.
We haven't touched on this topic in a while, which is sad because Survival Punk was founded on the DIY ethic.
It's at the end of every episode
now. It's on the end of every episode.
Except when you forget to say it and then I have to shout it out.
Yeah, so DIY. What is DIY?
Do it yourself.
Do it yourself.
Something not enough Americans do.
Yeah, you know what? It kicked it off that I read an article about DIYs that decline. Because men are getting to be sissy little bitches now.
You know why plumbers make so much?
They do it themselves.
No, because nobody wants to do it themselves.
No one wants to do it, yeah.
You know why carpenters make so much? Because nobody wants to do it themselves.
I would say in carpenters' cases, it's a skilled profession. No one knows how to do that.
I know, but, I mean, if you get a book, you can learn how to do at least some simple plumbing, but nobody wants to do that. I've actually, I've worked for a router place a few years back, and we had an on-call plumber on there. You don't know how many times he got called out two jobs to clean out somebody's trap. That's simple. You know what you need to clean out a trap? A wrench and a coat hanger.
Yeah.
And he was making something like $18 an hour.
I'm surprised he was making that little.
He was like first year on there.
Oh.
And he was getting underpaid. He didn't last long.
Yeah.
He quit. He actually got a really good
job. A real job?
Yeah, he got a real job with like a roto-rooter or something like that. I remember the day he turned in his notice, too.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to shit on the boss's desk. But anyway, getting off the topic, DIY.
Yeah, so it's... Yeah, so many people just do not do anything themselves.
Mm-mm.
They can't...
they outsource. So like
I have a George Foreman grill. I might actually give it to you when I move to the tiny house just to maybe to save space because I don't use it, haven't used it in a while. But
well, it gets all the fat out of the meat, doesn't it?
It does, but sometimes I collect that fat and make candles out of it.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So, a couple years ago, I bought it from Walmart for Black Friday. Not that I went out there for Black Friday, but I was there the next day, and there was one of these left, like a giant, like a four hamburger cooking George Foreman grill for like $19.
Sweet.
It's not a bad deal. And it's good for cooking frozen foods. Like, you can just throw a hamburger or a chicken breast on there, cook it, and be done. Yeah, you lose all the fat. But you can use that fat for other stuff. Sometimes I use it to clean cast iron or make candles. Or anyway.
We ought to do a main topic one day just about all the uses of fat.
Yeah, we should. I actually thought making today's main topic on nutrition stuff. I had a conversation with someone, but we're gonna, anyway, so one day it stopped turning on.
The
Foreman grill. It just wouldn't turn on anymore. I'd plug it up, check the outlet. You know, I went to my troubleshooting thing. You know, plug it in, no light came on. So, wasn't getting hot, no light came on. Plug something else in the outlet, worked fine. So, eliminate, it's not the outlet, it wasn't a trip breaker. That's working fine.
So, you did what every good American would do. Figure the damn thing's broken and throw it away.
No. I figured it's trash, it's $19. At this point, I think I had it like 2 years. Like, because I got it... Probably 5 or 6 years ago.
It's had a good run. I've used it plenty.
Yeah.
It's outlived its usefulness, and then you threw it away.
No, I figured it is trash, so I'll go ahead and take it apart and look at it, and then if I can fix it, it's fine. If not, then no worries. I'll just throw it away like everyone else will.
But if you take it apart, don't you void the warranty?
Yeah, whatever. 2 years, it was... So yeah, I unplugged it, I took it apart, I looked at it, and I noticed that a wire... had burnt and came off of the control switch.
That doesn't sound pleasant.
What happened was I figured that I washed it, and I guess I'd plugged it up too soon after washing it, and there's still some water in it, or some water got splashed in it.
You naughty, naughty boy.
And caused a short.
Oh, my goodness.
So I happened to have another wire crimp laying around, so I cut off the wire, made a new crimp, put it on there, hooked it back up. Works like 4 years later to this day.
Wow.
Yeah, like a free fix for maybe 15 minutes of time.
That's pretty sweet, actually.
Yeah.
And you did it yourself.
I did do it myself, yeah. So it's just, it's that...
And you survived.
I did survive. You know, just like, if it's trash, there's no reason not to take it apart.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can fix it, maybe you can't. No harm, no foul. Maybe there's something useful in there that you can save for another project another time.
Absolutely.
The way my mind works, I'm always trying to figure out solutions to things. You know, work away. Like, for a while there, I was trying to build my own disposable magazine for my AR-15. Like a cardboard mag.
A cardboard magazine for a damn near machine gun.
Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
I never finished that one. I did find a guy trying to do hand carved ones out of wood.
I was going to ask if anybody's made a wooden one.
I've seen people do ABS plastic with milling machines.
Mm-hmm.
But one guy was trying to make one out of wood.
Wow.
Interesting.
But I saw the Mythbusters make a cannon out of duct tape.
Yeah. So that would be, they did it themselves. Yeah.
So, do it yourself.
Just that. You know, trying to, you got a problem, figure out a way to do it with what you have. Not run to the store and buy something. So we're wiring up and we're doing the windows in out of dual homestead, and we made a snafu.
You made a snafu?
When we were measuring the two of the windows, we measured from the wrong spot. So we were measuring inside the shed. We measured from the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And not from the bottom of the wall, the 2x4. It goes across the bottom of the floor.
Wah, wah.
Which basically meant we were 2 inches off. 2x4, we were 2 inches off the measurement.
Frackin' oops.
We found out when we went to go put the windows in, and we'd already cut all the wood, cut the fucking sideboard, the trim off the outside. So we had holes in the thing. We hung it up, and there was that 2-inch gap.
God dang it, Bobby, this thing doesn't fit.
Yeah. So, you know, and we were low on lumber. We'd already cut it out of the side of the shed. There was going to be a 2-inch gap.
So you trimmed down the window.
This was my idea. This is what we ended up going with.
Uh-huh.
We just cut an extra sill plate, 2x4 sill plate. So the bottom piece of wood the window sits above.
Mm-hmm.
And we screwed that in. So instead of having one 2x4 sill plate on the bottom of the window, we just doubled that to 2 sill. So it just made made the gap. And then the trim and all that and the window on the outside covered it all up.
See, and I always thought that was something for feeding your seal with.
No. So, yeah. I mean, that solved that problem. There's all sorts of, you know, you doing something and you run out or you don't have enough, whatever.
Well, recently we had to have a room built on. Oh, my daughter's getting older, and my daughter and son have been sharing a bedroom for a while. And so, you know, if you're going to add a room somewhere in the house, you know, what do you need? You need to call a carpenter or something like that, you know, and they've got to give you estimates and all that. And then they got to spend 3 weeks doing a simple job and, you know, totally screwing up your house and your life and everything.
Right.
And charge you exorbitant amounts of money. So that's exactly what we didn't do.
Yeah.
No. Me and my wife and her father built that room in a day.
Yeah.
Well, 2 days if you count the drywall.
Yeah.
But they had the walls up, realistically I was at work, but they had the framed walls up in a day, and we had the drywall up like the next day. I mean, she had a room built like no time.
Right.
And all it cost us was the cost of lumber.
Right.
So, I mean, we did that ourselves. I mean, we have pretty much stripped down my entire house, insulation, drywall, everything, and rebuilt it.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, so, and we could have paid outside people to do it, but, you know, we didn't have $1 million to spend.
Right.
You can do these things. A lot of these things that people out there think are too complicated are a hell of a lot simpler than you think. All you've got to do is just really look at it, and for God's sakes, that's why the Lord above gave us YouTube. Because of YouTube, I installed my own toilet, damn it.
Yeah, YouTube's an amazing. Like, that's what I try to explain that to Mike whenever, like, for computer problems. Like, I don't know everything about computers, but I know enough to Google it, find it on YouTube, find it on a forum, find some other poor schmo that had the same problem.
You could find instructions for anything on right. YouTube. I'm pretty sure if you go on YouTube and search how to use YouTube, you can find a video.
Probably hundreds.
I give you a challenge. Any of our listeners, send us a link to a video on YouTube on how to watch videos on YouTube.
Yeah. So, and then another thing, just be fearless and stuff. Like, it's the same way I cook. I'll get an idea and I'll try it. I'll mix spices and I'll do this and I'll do this. I would say 80% of the time, my dishes come out amazing. 10% of the time, they come out edible. And like 10% of the time, I throw it away.
They come out as cat food.
Yeah. Or, oh my God, I tried so hard to eat beef liver one time. And even my fat cat Sammy back then wouldn't touch it.
Oh my God!
I tried to do traditional like beef liver and onions.
Oh,
which turned out I hated. Kind of a texture thing, kind of squishy like a sponge you're eating.
It's what my wife would call earthy.
I didn't like that, and then I tried to spice things up with some salsa and sour cream, and I didn't like that either. So I just threw that dish away.
I can't blame you.
Yep.
Can't blame you. But you know what? If you don't try, people don't succeed without trying. They don't fail without trying either.
Right.
But nothing risked is nothing gained.
Right. So be fearless. You know.
Oh, but I'm afraid I'll mess it up or break it. That's how you learn.
Yeah. I mean, I want to make sure that you get that instilled in you when you start working on CouchPotatoMike.com.
I'm going to
tweak and play with it and break shit and then fix it. You learn how to fix it when you break it. I mean, you really do.
Yeah. For years now, I've been dependent for all of my tech skills to actually come from you and like three other of my friends that are all really good with that. Because I've got all these friends that are good with computers, I have never become good with computers, right. And I'm getting off my fat, lazy couch potato ass in doing that. I'm going to build this damn website. It might take me a fucking year to get it going right, but I will get this website. You rest assured out there. And when I do, you come over there and you listen to Couch Potato Mike Explains It All. CouchPotatoMike.com. Do it yourself.
All right, what do we got next?
Our review on the Gerber EAB. It's our Gadget Punk segment for this week.
I started carrying this again. So it's a thin box cutter, basically, from Gerber. It folds out, so it's folding, has a pocket clip, doubles as a money clip, and the EAB stands for exchanger blade. So there's a little screw in it, and you can just put in any box cutter blade.
Yeah, it uses just that standard type of a razor blade like that.
Yep, just screws in there, and then you use it, and you throw it away.
It's small, it's lightweight, it's compact, especially when it folds up.
Oh, yeah. So it's... it's so tiny and so small, I like to often carry this when I'm even carrying like a normal knife, like a pocket knife.
Mm-hmm.
To if I have to open packages, cut tape, do that kind of bull crap.
Right.
I'd rather waste a 2-cent freaking box cutter blade than like lose the edge on my good pocket knife.
For the longest time, I would carry both a box cutter and a pocket knife with me everywhere because those blades are cheap and they can exchange good. I'd rather than do that than risk damaging my good blade on something else, just like you said.
For any survival need, you want to preserve your blade as much as possible. So using this EAB, you do that. I mean, it's...
Yeah. I mean, they come out sharper than hell, and you don't have to worry about sharpening them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a disposable blade.
Yeah.
No, so it's comes... yours is a nice stainless steel finish on that.
Yeah, I may have gotten the last the last run of this version. I think they still make a new version, but I think it's skeletonized, which
skeletonized.
So it's not solid metal. They have
God.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not a big fan of that. It weakens structural integrity.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's a way of skimping out on building supplies.
Well, on knives and stuff, it cuts down on weight a lot. So it'd be less weight than this, which is nice, and you don't need to be, you don't need this thing to be bomb proof. It's a box cutter.
I like my box cutters bomb-proof, thank you very much. It's the same thing with the damn White Castles. They used to poke five holes in the patty. That way they could save on meat.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore because I kept complaining until they finally, you know, threatened me with a restraining order.
Sure.
But anyway, the Gerber EAB. Get yourself one. And now it is time for a word about the good folks over at CampingSurvival.com and the wares that they would like you to buy.
Right. So for all your bug out and bug in needs, head to CampingSurvival.com where you can get things like fish antibiotics, possibly still with free shipping, good deals, and then the life straw, which I'm a big fan of. To purify, I think, like 100,000 gallons of water, something ridiculous. You can get all that at campingsurvival.com. Head to survivalpunk.com. Click the banner in the right-hand margin.
Absolutely. And now it is time for our Nutrition Punk segment. And you wanted to talk about something called Yapon Holly.
The Yapon Holly, also known as Latin name Ilex vomitoria.
Ilex vomitoria?
It was misnamed with, I think, the Spanish thinking it was something else that the natives were drinking.
It sounds like something
induced
that would...
vomiting.
Yeah.
But it's actually not. Although some people say if you consume enough Yapon Holly, you can cause vomiting. But that's not...
You consume enough anything, you can cause vomiting.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I drank a couple of cups of it the other day. I had a...
What's it like?
Well, I have some here, but I had a reader slash listener email me and say that, you know, he's growing Yapon Holly and he has some. I had some people willing to send me some leaves. It's a holly tree, mm-hmm. an evergreen, has leaves year-round, puts on berries in the springtime till fall time. And sure enough, yeah, he sent me some to try. It has a really fruity flavor. It reminds me of goji berries. So it has a berry sort of flavor. Real smooth tasting. Kind of sweet. I mean, it actually has sort of like a sweetness to it.
Hmm.
So I didn't add any sweetener to it. I just drank it. Well, on the first cup, I didn't do anything to it. I like to try things without anything added to them, so I know they're sort of natural, raw flavor.
It's like that old Taco Bell commercial said, could you try it first before you start messing it up?
Yeah. So I did that. And the reason why you would care about the Yapon Holly is because it has caffeine. And I believe it's 25 times more caffeine than a coffee bean per weight.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of caffeine.
It is a lot of caffeine.
Have to peel me off the ceiling.
It was tasty. So, yeah, I drank that. You know, it was a great flavor. I tried it like you would prepare a coffee or like a British tea with a little bit of stevia and some heavy cream,
mm-hmm.
which is what I put in my coffee.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
So good.
Yeah, it was so good. I enjoyed it.
I'll have to try some of those.
Thanks, Curtis, for sending me some Yapon Holly. You can find some to buy commercially. It's a native to the southeastern United States. So
does it grow wild?
It does. It grows wild in southeastern, like Texas, Florida, up around the coast, up to like it likes the sandy soil.
Then it is also our wild edible for the week, seeing so it looks like you forgot the book.
Oh. So it was actually our wild edible of the week like a couple weeks ago. It was the week we ran through the wild edible and you're like wah, 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 wah.
Okay, well this is making up
for that. So yeah, it's USDA hardiness zone 7. So here in Tennessee we're zone 7A or B. There's no reason why we can't grow Yapon Holly here, and I plan on doing it on dual homestead.
Well, I'm sure they'll let us all know how that... Yeah, I was going to skip that anyway. Yes, we have now officially canceled Mike's Worst Cases for the week. We're running exceptionally late this week.
Yeah.
You don't have to push it off the board. You just leave it there. We'll skip over it. Anyway, now, do you have the cards with you? Okay, well, it is time for our Permaculture Minute of the Week. God, we're so professional.
Yeah.
All right, and this week's Permaculture of the Week. Did I do Black Locust already? Slip. I'm looking at the wrong damn side again.
You always do.
No, wait, I'm not. You know, I'm pulling one out of the middle. Screw it. Not that one, though. All right. Okay, this week's card is the Ace of Diamonds, which is Rocket Mass Heater. A rocket mass heater will heat your home with a tenth the wood of the conventional wood stove while emitting a thousandth the smoke. Hidden inside this metal bell is the insulated heat riser that pulls air through the wood and feeds and pushes exhaust through the rest of the system. Cooking surface, exhaust passes through a mass where the heat will be given off for several days after the fire has gone out. Gravity-powered wood feed. This could be the cleanest and most sustainable way to heat a conventional home. Some people have reported that they heat their home with nothing more than the dead branches that fall off the trees in their yard. You should get one of these for your little shack.
I'm thinking about building one. The only sort of downfall is, one, I've never built a rocket mass heater, and two, most of them are built using cob, which is sort of a clay straw mixture, and they tend to be very heavy. We would have to look at reinforcing the floor probably.
Right.
So there's some solutions I have, like, so maybe get around that, but I don't know. I am really thinking about a rocket mass heater. I like the idea of using sticks and twigs and the bench, the thermal mass bench to radiate heat. So, you know, sitting on a nice bench that's like, you know, you're absorbing heat through. I like that.
Alrighty. And let's see. Now it's time for Mike's Paleo Report. I had my cheat day since we last talked about anything. And unfortunately, because of stress in my life, I'll be honest, it kind of turned into a week-long event.
But
I was trying my damnedest to stick as paleo. There's this 85-15 rule that, you know, most paleo people live by. Eat by it 85% of the time. Well, during this week, I was only eating by it about 60% of the time. I was eating some junk. I needed my comfort food, okay? It was an incredibly stressful time. I've had a lot of stuff going on in my life that I'm actually not going to talk about here because, you know, I do like to keep some things private. But I've been getting back on the diet a little bit more and, a lot more, actually. And I'm happy to report that my weight, I think when I last reported it, I was at 265. I'm now down to an even 260.
Nice.
I've lost another 5 pounds, which brings my grand total of weight loss up to 38 pounds since starting the paleo diet.
Excellent.
38 pounds. I mean, I've been eating a good paleo dinner and paleo lunch and paleo breakfast this whole time. So all three meals have been paleo. But during that stress week, I had been throwing some junk food in there in between, you know, and the thing is, I felt crappy about it afterwards. I really did. But okay, one other thing I got to report. Since cheat day, I have decided I'm adding cheese back into the diet. I've been missing cheese and I'm adding that addition of cheese back into the diet. Actually, believe this or not, seems to have gotten rid of the depression that the diet was bringing me.
Hmm.
It was giving me, honestly, it's like they say cheese acts in the brain the same way morphine does, and I can believe that. I was jonesing for some frackin' cheese.
Hmm.
I really was. Adding that back into the diet, it just that one little that piece of depression that I was going through, I mean, it's gone now because I've got that. I mean, it's about the only thing I've added back in. I haven't added legumes in, except for maybe green beans. But then again, the paleo thing's right on the edge about those. And that's like my favorite vegetable anyway.
Oh.
And I haven't added grains back in. I have not done that. Of course, then again, I haven't really missed them either. But
right.
Cheese did the trick, and I'm still on the road to weight loss. And 190 pounds, which is my goal weight, is just before it was a fantasy, then it was a dream, then it was a hope, and now I see it as my future. Will get there. I will. And that's been Mike's Paleo Report for the week. And I'm going to run through our quick little affiliate ad here real quick for Area 51 Tech Solutions. Contact Jason at 615-379-8113 for desktops, laptops, tablets, cell phones, and game consoles. He can fix it all. We believe in serving our community with integrity. Small and home offices. I don't have time for this to not work. Optimize Windows. He works on small networks, virus removal, PC tune-up, crack screen repair, gaming console repairs, custom PC game rigs. Call 615-379-8113 for a free consultation. Just ask for Hannah. Tell him that Couch Potato Mike over at Survival Punk sent you, and get 10% off any repairs that you get.
Nice.
All righty. And now let's see. Mike's Worst Cases, we're cutting this down to one question. Okay, are you ready? Mike's Worst Cases, one question, do you win? What do you do when your show is running really, really long?
Cut out Mike's Worst Cases.
Correct.
You're simply the best. Better than all the rest.
All righty, and now it's time for our last sponsor ad of the day. FreedomMunitions.com.
Yes. The largest straight-to-consumer ammunition company online here in the United States. Good people. They do reloaded ammo. Remanufactured is what they call it. Good prices on that. Some really good prices. They do... everything in-house, except for, like, I think they get primers, whatever. But they do all the loading themselves in-house with a big manufacturing facility. Good stuff, good prices, good people. Check out Free Munitions. Go to survivalpunk.com, click the banner in the right-hand margin.
And if you've got something you want to sell, and it is survival-related, punk-related, health-related, just hit up James at survivalpunk.com. To advertise on the site and on the show. He will cut you deals in cash, in bitcoins, in meat, in bartering, in precious metals. James at survivalpunk.com for selling your wares. And it's now come to the time of the show where I invite a celebrity on. And this week's celebrity invite goes out to one Mr. Robert Irvine. Most people are like, survival? Survival? Well, I've seen him survive a lot on the Food Network. He is one of my favorite celebrity chefs. He's the host of Restaurant Impossible right now, but he used to be one of the main guys on Dinner Impossible, where I've seen him like cook on the beach with found stuff. He's an awesome guy, and I would really love to have him on the show. So, Robert Irvine, if you are listening, and I know you are, you have an open door, open-ended invite onto either Survival Punk Podcast or the upcoming Couch Potato Mike Explains It All on CouchPotatoMike.com. And while we're talking to you out there and getting you all hyped up about stuff, let's tell you about the Survival Punk Army and why it wants you.
Survival Punk Army is your way to support me and Mike and what we do here on the show. $5 a month. There's a bi-monthly. There's the yearly one is $50 a year. And you get discounts to 12 vendors. Some good stuff from SOE Tactical Gear. You get a discount from Mai Tai Coffee. You get a discount from a bunch of good vendors. You get free ebooks from some great people on raising chickens and some preparedness ebooks. You get all the Survival Punk podcast episodes in convenient zip files for you to download. 10 episodes per zip files. Exclusive content upcoming. And... I've been waiting for this.
And?
If you get it this week, I'm going to give you a discount. What discount kind of code's discount? Being announced right here on the podcast right now.
This is news to me, folks.
Yes. If you use the discount code MOVING, M-O-V-I-N-G, all lowercase.
What do they get? What do they get? Tell us what they get.
You get your first year of Survival Punk Army membership at $30.
$30? Oh, my God. That's 40% off.
Yes. 1 week only. We'll run it Wednesday to Wednesday. And just to sort of help out with the move to the homestead, I need to raise a little funds. And you can help support the show and help the move.
Yes, help us out here, because remember, one thing and one thing only. The Survival Punk Army wants you! Well, I think it's been a pretty good show so far.
I think we should have made the entire show about ranting about politicians, and...
We damn near did.
We damn near did, yeah.
We damn near did. The first start of the show got you off on a tear up on your soapbox, on your high horse. It's amazing all the things you could be on simultaneously.
We're actually not running that late. We're at 1:11 right now. We have to edit out the beginning stuff when we flubbed the article.
I know, but we started stepping up the pace when we realized we were damn near an hour in.
Yeah.
We try not to go over an hour. That never succeeds.
Yeah.
Alrighty, but it has been a great one out there, and looking forward to next week. Remember, Survival Punk Army wants you, code M-O-V-I-N-G, 40% off your first year. And, well, I think that's been it for the Survival Punk Podcast. This is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James.
And remember out there, if you're bored, if you need something to do, do it yourself over at Couch Potato Mike Explains It All at couchpotatomike.com.
DIY to survive.